Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
God talks about our thinking and how we should order our thinking. We talked about stopping and thinking just because there is this inevitable reality that what you plant is what you sow. So that needs to have due consideration to stop and think and consider. We spent 3 weeks in Romans chapter 12 talking about what it means to have a renewed mind. And then last week we were in Philippians 4 verse 8 where it talks about the content of our thinking. Think on these things. And if I could direct your attention to verse 2 of chapter 3, book of Colossians, the phrase that is in front of you, this short sentence, this command, is what we want to focus on today as we seek to think above. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's a very short package of words. All the words that are in that package we understand and are familiar with. There's nothing strange there. But I assure you that if we would further and continue, or at least start the discipline of trying to think above, our lives would be different. To get out of the mess and the morass, which is this world in which we live, and to think higher. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. In order to think well, we need to think higher. And this passage is going to help us understand what that means and equip us so that we can think higher. Set your mind. Notice it's a command. This is not an option. This is not an add-on. You set your mind. You concentrate. You direct your mind on things above. Now, I'm going to break this into three parts, and I'm going to use really 1 through 17 of this passage to try to illustrate, but we're all going to go back to that phrase of verse 2. It all kind of packages right there. And may God help us to think differently than we really are used to thinking. First of all, if you're going to set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth, I would suggest we will say it this way. Think about where you are, which he says here in the text we're going to read in a moment, which is raised in Christ. If you just go back to verse 1, you will see these words. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. So he says, what you need to do is to think about where you are, your position in Christ. And fortunately, he's already told us what that means, that we need to think above. If you were raised with Christ, that means if you were saved, you certainly were. And there's this fascinating, deep, mysterious reality that when we become a part, one of God's children through faith in Christ, that we are identified or joined or bonded together with the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. In essence, we also died to the old man, and we've been raised to a newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, what you need to do is think about where you are in our position in Christ. We are connected, vitally, eternally connected with Jesus. Now, where is Jesus? Look at the end of verse 1. Sitting at the right hand of God. Sitting at the right hand of God. That's where our hope has to be. That's where our minds have to be fastened. And if you want to know where it's really going on, it's not just cross town at the State House. It's not up in New York on Wall Street. That's not where it's going on. It's not out on the left coast, as they say, and out in Hollywood where it's going on. That's not where it's really mattering. It's certainly not Washington, D.C. You want to know where it's really ultimately going on now? People in all those venues, if they would bring themselves into conformity to Christ, all those venues would be better places than they sometimes are. But where it's really going on, where things are determined, where things are really controlled, is at the throne of Almighty God. Think on those things. Now, we have this pull, don't we? This pull, because our senses, our eyes, our ears, all of our senses, we can relate to this level, this earth, right? And we are so captivated. It doesn't take much to get our minds and our attention on things. The picture that comes to my mind is something that happened when I was 6 years old. My father brought into our house a 7, 8, 9 pound Boston Terrier Bulldog to live with us for a number of years. If you ask my dad, and he's here, he will confirm this. If you ask him if about this dog, he'd say it was a wonderful dog. But he was a one-person dog. Actually, it was a she. She was a one-person dog, and she was his dog. The rest of us were just tolerated because we happened to live in the same house. But this little bulldog hated cats. For you cat lovers, I'm sorry. It just hated cats. And we had a screen door in the back, and there was cats in the neighborhood where we lived, and occasionally cats would take a shortcut through our yard. And we caught on to this, and we probably shouldn't have done this, but every time we'd see a cat, we'd say, hey, cat, cat, cat. And the dog would come to the door, and it would just, like, shake. Like, I got to get that cat, I got to get that cat. And once we got the dog really riled up, we would open the door. Now, the cat was in no danger because he would run full blast at the cat, and the cat would, you know, go off this way. And the dog never learned that you can't make a 90-degree turn running full dog speed. And the dog would just, and we thought that was hilarious. But that's us, isn't it? We are so fastened on this world. Look, cat, thing, stuff, whatever, people. And we're just suddenly, we have that sort of intensity. It takes some discipline. It takes some effort, more than bulldog effort, to be able to say, I am going to set my mind not on this stuff that all of my senses just clamors for my attention, but I'm going to think about things above, up there where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, where I've been raised. And not only that, we are there with him in some sense. We've been raised together with him. We're joined with him. There's a vital, unending, eternal connection between us and what is going on at the throne of God. Think on those things. Set your mind on things above. It will take you above your natural, normal desires. Now, if you just go down to verse 5 and 6, you see some of these natural desires. And this is what we need to get away from, because this is where the world will pull us. This is where our mind will pull us if we're not careful. He says in verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. This is this earthly stuff. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. That's quite a package of sinful behavior he has there. He says that's where your natural desires are to go. But if you set your mind, set your thinking up there where Jesus is, and the reality of where you are in your position with the Lord, it will pull you away from all of that. You know, there's some of us need to be very careful about even what is not bad stuff, but is just stuff. For some reason, I've spent a lot of time in the last month or so in waiting rooms, and it seems like every one of them has a TV there showing the Home and Garden channel. And they're always buying a house, tearing a house up, and rebuilding a house. Okay? And I figured out all that is intended to do is make me feel bad about my house. At least, I don't know if you what reaction you have, but boy, they have really nice, that's a nice kitchen. Look at that bathroom. Look what they did there. Of course, what they don't tell you is, you know, we're going to take a $100,000 house and we're going to spend another $200,000 house so that you wind up with a $150,000 house. That's what it appears to me. I'm no expert. So it might just be, you know, you see what you see, you get to thinking what you think, and what we need to make sure is that we carve out in our lives some space and some time to think correctly. Some of you are like me, you're a news junkie. You're an addict. You got to know what's going on in the world. You know, you got the notification set on your phone and it dings and you check the computer, and you check the news on TV and you let it run. You want to know what's going on. You follow every moment of whatever the deal is. Let me give you a piece of advice. Every once in a while, just shut it all down and think on things above. Think on things above. So let me just give you a suggestion. So if we need to think about where you are, which is raised in Christ, verse 1, and what we need to do is set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, verse 2, we need to, and it will take you above your natural, normal desires. Just do this. Talk to Jesus often. Talk to him. Have a conversation with him. Sit down and watch the news with them if you have to watch the news. Talk about what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, what you're reacting to. Talk to him about what you know about him. And remind yourself in that conversation that you're talking to the God that rules over all things. The one who spoke it all into existence. The one who holds it all together. And the one who ultimately will judge all things by the power of his divine and perfect will and nature. Set your mind on things above. We need to ask ourselves, am I thinking earthly right now or am I thinking heavenly right now? What is the frequency with which I think heavenly thoughts versus earthly thoughts? If most of us could just increase the frequency by even some small percentage, we would be amazed at what changes that could make in our lives. So, verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. To think well, think higher. Well, second of all, suggest to you, you need to think about where you live, which is hidden with Christ. And that's verse 3, the verse that follows our key verse today. And I want to read 2 and 3. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? Glad you asked. If something is hidden, it is out of sight because something is covering it or shielding it. In other words, you don't see what you really would like to see, but you see something else in place of it, covering it. So from God's vantage point, this is what Paul is reminding us. You died, and your life, that's that dead to sin, alive to Christ, the new reality, the new man. He says, now you're hidden with Christ in God. Somehow, in this divine transaction of salvation, we are all wrapped up in who God is. We are submerged in who God is. We're enveloped in who God is. We are surrounded by who God is. We are hidden in Him. In all that He is to us and all that we are connected to Him, we are wrapped up in Him. He has wrapped Himself around us. And from God's vantage point, He never sees you and I as we think of ourselves and see ourselves. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He always sees you wrapped up in who He is and in the righteousness of Christ. You see, in this divine transaction of salvation, we oftentimes think about having our sins forgiven. That is part of it. That is true. Amen. It's great stuff. And if you could conceive of it this way, I have a debt. I owe something, and it's more than I could repay, my sin. Forgiveness is wiping out the debt. Forgiveness is wiping the slate clean, resetting that ledger to zero. But God doesn't stop there. Applied to our account, imputed is the Bible term, imputed to our account is the righteousness of Jesus. Not only is the debt wiped out, God has made an eternally significant deposit to your account, and it's the righteousness of Jesus. He says, think about that. Think about where you are. From God's point of view, you're all wrapped up in Him. All wrapped up in Him. If you do, it will take you above your normal behavior. Look at some of these behaviors that you see scattered throughout the text. If you get down to about verse 8, you'll see it. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. In other words, get rid of these things. Look at this list. Here's another list for you. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and now put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. All wrapped up in him. These things need to go. All these things are hurtful. Lying, we understand. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, speaking ill of God, filthy language, that which is just not proper for a believer. And that can include all sorts of things, attack, gossip, whatever. All that kind of that stuff that just shouldn't be part of our conversation. So he says, to replace those things, to put on this new man, go right back up, set your mind on things above. What am I supposed to set my mind above on? Well, it's where you live. Our life is lived hidden with Christ and God. We're wrapped up in Him. Remind yourself of who you are. You're different. We are different. We are not better because of our efforts, but we're different because of who we, where we stand and where we live in the Lord Jesus Christ. We as believers spend far, far too little time remembering who we are in Christ. Now, let me just take a moment and deviate from script for just a moment. And let me just talk to you. Maybe you're on the outside looking into this transaction that I just described to you. You have a debt you cannot pay. It's a debt which will cost you your eternal soul. Jesus asked the question, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? A debt you cannot pay, but Jesus Christ's death on the cross paid that for you if you'll accept that gift of being applied to your account. And he wants to give you not just a clean slate, he wants to give you a divine bank account that's filled with the righteousness and the beauty and the glory and the majesty and the power and all the choice things that God is. Why would you not want that? What is it about your life now that would keep you from that? Oh, I might be embarrassed if someone, no, I'm confessing I'm a sinner. Friend, it's an open secret for all of us. Maybe there's something about your life. You know, if I come to Christ, it's going to mess up that part of my life. Friends, it needs messed up. It needs changed. It needs altered. But you come to Christ and let him start that process of altering and changing you. You could give 1,000 excuses. Every one of them would be not worth the time to speak them when it comes to what Jesus Christ offers you in free salvation. If you're here this morning, that's an open question. At the end of this service, you can talk to one of us. Even as the song sung, just come up here to the front. We'll talk. I'm going to remain here at the front this morning. Pastor Tim's going to be around. We'd love to just pray with you, answer your questions. If it takes more time than you got this morning, we'll find the time and we'll have that conversation. But come to Christ. As the choir sang, come to Jesus. That's what he invites you to do. Now, you think about these behaviors that he wants us to, if we're living who we are. There's a friend of mine, I see him every week, usually every week, every other week in a particular place where I'm usually going. And he's determined that he wants to bring some good cheer to everybody he meets, including me. You know, I'd like to be the guy that when you show up, people say, oh, here he comes, yes. Because you're helpful. That's what he said. This guy has a renewed mind, I'm sure. He's the kind of guy who comes, he always has some humor. He'll come up to you and say something like, hey, have you been to you been in a restroom where you see that sign, employees must wash hands? I said, yeah, I've seen it. He says, I don't pay attention to that. I wash my own hands. That's about the level of humor you get from my friend, okay? It's just, that was sort of funny. But I know when he shows up, he's going to try to do something to put a smile on my face and make things a little bit. He loves the Lord, knows the Lord, serves the Lord. But just to be that guy, I want to just, not my normal behavior. I want to be above that because I know I'm in Christ. So I want to suggest you do something else. Talk to you about, talk to Jesus often. How about listen to Jesus often? We have a great, you have the opportunity to do this. You have the opportunity to do this. We have this wonderful thing that we call the Bible, the Word of God. Now, obviously what you have in your hand, if you have a printed copy, it's just ink on paper, okay? The physicality of it, it's just what it is. But the words that it contains, the message that it contains, has come directly from the mind and the heart of Almighty God. It is perfect. It is living. It is powerful. It is eternal. It is infinite. This stuff will change you. This stuff will move you. It'll get in there and meddle with the real you. Now, I really enjoy our times together like we're doing this Sunday morning. Those that came in the early service, those of you to come in this service, I enjoy this. I love this. I thank you for your enthusiasm of studying the Word of God. You're listening. You seem like you're interested. I don't see anyone sleeping. That's always a good sign. So, thank you for your enthusiasm, and I hope this is valuable. I hope this is, I know it's because it's God's Word, it's valuable, but I assure you, this is not enough for your spiritual well-being. I can't give you enough to be your total spiritual well-being. You need to open this book and study it and read it and listen to Jesus often. Sometimes you got to tune out the noise and get alone with him and just open the book and read. Listen to him. He wants to speak to you. And as you listen to him, it will enable you to come back around and to understand I'm hidden with him, I'm connected to him, to set my mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And friends, if you think well, you will think higher than this world. Let everybody else stew in the morass and the swamp of this world. Let's get our minds up in the heavenly places. May God help us to do that. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Thirdly, I want to say this to you. Think about where you will be. Think about where you will be. Future tense. As you think about this, I want you to go to verse 4. I'm just going to go ahead and read 2, 3, and 4 just so it flows. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life... There's a statement for you. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Where you will be with him in glory. What that verse is saying, and whether you know anything about prophecy or not, if you're one of his children, suffice it to say that in eternity future, wherever he is, you're going to be there too. And someday he's going to return to this world, and his followers are going to return with him and appear with him and somehow share, be in his glory. You know, I'm pretty well convinced you don't deserve to be there. I'm totally convinced I don't deserve to be there. But the Word of God says, if you're one of his children, you're going to be there, and so am I, because I know him as Savior. That we will be. We focus so much on the here and now, the right now, about what hurts, what's going on, what's a mess, what needs to be different, and we can have endless conversations and endless analysis about the here and now. We need to make sure that we include into our mind, into our thinking, some analysis and some observation, not about the here and now, but the there and then, because he's promised it. We'll appear with him in glory. I have some friends, some of you might be included in this, but love to take selfies of yourself, you know. Now, I don't want you to go get your phone out and start deleting pictures, but what I'm about to say, okay? But you've seen this picture somewhere, all right? There's a picture of someone you know, and it's a selfie of them, and they're with somebody that you know that's sort of maybe famous or something, right? Hey, come over here. And we have preserved you in the presence of somebody famous for about a tenth of a second. And then you're not in their presence, right? Now, if you do that, that's fine. You can send me all the selfies you want with whoever you got, okay? That's fine. But we sort of get excited about being with somebody famous for a few moments. And I plastered online. You will appear with him in glory. The Lord who created everything. The God who is God. The one who is seated at the right hand of glory. You don't need any selfies because he's not going to get away. You don't need to post it anywhere because you're there. Appear with him in glory. May God help us. May God help us to just understand that we are always, in a different sense, but in reality, he is with us now. But we will be with him in a way that you and I can only imagine. Every once in a while, just take a little foray in your mind and just imagine what it's going to be like on an ordinary day in heaven. You got a lot of blanks to fill in, and you may get in your imagination all wrong, but it's a great exercise, whatever you imagine. If nothing else, it gets you thinking above, not on things of the earth. And there's so many moments when we need to get out of the here and now, the low and the earthly, and get into the high and the heavenly. May God help us to do that. Now, how do you do that? I told you, I've already given you two things. You need to talk to Jesus often, and you need to listen to Jesus often. But how do we do this? Well, first of all, if we think about where you'll be, it will take you to what I'm going to call believer behavior, okay? You're going to behave like a believer, however you want to say that. It'll take you there. And all of this is about connecting and serving others. And it's right here in the text in front of us. Verse 12, look at that. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, And all those are lofty, wonderful, godly, heavenly things we could think about and fasten our minds on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Wouldn't you like to have a friend that had all those things just nailed down in their behavior? Wouldn't you like to hang around with them? Wouldn't we like to be the person that people would hang around with us because those were true of us? Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, got a complaint against somebody, don't flinch. Don't show it on your face. You got a complaint. You got somebody you just, they've just got under your skin and they won't get out. Here's God's remedy. Got a complaint against another? Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. That puts you in convicting territory, doesn't it? But notice how it's tied to not to the here and now, the earthly. It's tied to the heavenly. Why do you do this? Because God's forgiven you. And whatever that person did they shouldn't have done, according to you, you've done far worse and deserve far more than you would want to have for them. You have been forgiven. Totally forgiven. You see, we operate this way oftentimes. We judge everybody else on their performance, but we want to be judged on our intention. Well, maybe I said that, but I didn't really mean it. I get a pass. But you said it, and you said it, and you're not getting away with it. That's sort of our approach. The Lord Jesus, if you come to Him for salvation, He doesn't judge us on our intent or our performance. He just forgives us because of His grace. And that's the kind of grace we need to dispense. That's believer behavior. Verse 14, above all these things, put on love. Put it on, which is the bond of perfection. Maturity, it's how grown-up people act. Put on love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. I mean, you talk about Paul ratcheting you up the ladder of heavenly thoughts. It's packed into these letters that he's writing to the church, coming by inspiration of the Spirit from God Himself. So what do? Love others always. Find ways to love others. Don't judge people because of their behavior or their intent, but just love people. Forgive, be tender-hearted, tender mercies, kind, humble, meek, long-suffering, bearing with one another. That's how God wants us to act. That's how believers are to act. And God wants us to act that way. Love others. There's two final verses that I want to read to you, verses 16 and 17. And it sort of recaps the activities that I've tried to encourage us to involve ourselves in. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's to listen to His voice. But notice how he says to do it. Here's a great mechanism. Teaching and admonishing one another, got that, but how do you do it? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Music takes grand thoughts and makes them sticky and plants them deeply in our hearts and our souls. That's why we devote time in this worship service to sing and to have, you know, that we can sing these great truths that we sing together and we think about heaven and we think about future as we've done this morning. Great, great work. And whatever you do, in word or deed. By the way, there's no escape clause from that command, is there? Whatever you do in word or deed, that's the only actions you can have, okay? When it relates to other people, word or deed. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.